All right, we're going to be going over question number three this morning in Benjamin Keach's Catechism. Question number three. How do we know there is a God? Answer. The light of nature in man and the works of God plainly declare that there is a God. But his word and spirit only do effectually reveal him unto us for salvation. We have five proof texts this morning from this question. Romans 1, 18 through 20, Psalms 19, verses 1 through 2, 2 Timothy 3, 15, 1 Corinthians 1, 21 through 24, and also 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 through 10. Y'all could go ahead and start turning to Romans chapter 1 first. We'll be looking this morning at five points that how God in his infinite wisdom has chose to reveal himself to mankind. Let us pray and start. Father, we thank you for the day, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be able to gather together this morning and meet in your presence. Oh, Lord, we pray for your spirit to be in our midst this morning, dear Lord. I pray, Lord, that you would take my mind, Lord, and that you would take my speech, and that you would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Lord, bless those who hear this morning, Lord. Bless your saints, Lord. And if there's anybody outside of Christ, I pray that your spirit would move upon their hearts this morning, and they would come to know you as Lord and Savior. In your precious name, I do pray, and I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look at Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. And we'll be looking here at the righteousness revealed by wrath against sin. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 20. Verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want to make five points in this little passage. Number one, we see condemnation of sin, God's complete disapproval of it. Secondly, the suppression of truth, man's censorship of God's truth. Revelation of himself by creation and order, and that man is without excuse because God has written his law upon our hearts and in our consciences, and that all are under sin, and all are declared guilty. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Let's build upon this here. Ephesians chapter 5, let's look at verses 5 and 6. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Let's look also at Job chapter 12. Verses 7 through 10. Verse 7. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee, and the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee. Or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare unto thee. Who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hands is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? We see God is in complete control here. Let's look at our second proof text this morning. Let's look at Psalm 19, next book over. And we see here his salvation revealed by Scripture. I'm sorry, his power and control over creation. I jumped one there. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 2. Verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. We see 3 points here that God is separate. He is holy from his creation. He transcends us. We are his creation. His work of creation declares his greatness. The order of creation declares his sovereign control. We see things like the cycles of day and night that happen day after day, the seasons change and all, and everything works in perfect order. He is in complete control. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 45. Let's build upon this. Isaiah 45. Look at verse 6 through 8. That they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Look at verse 18 as well in the same chapter. For thus said the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it, not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Let's look at our third proof text this morning in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll see here his salvation revealed by Scripture. 2 Timothy 3:15. Verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And Paul is talking to Timothy here about his mother and grandmother that have taught him the word since he was a child. Make 2 points here, that Scripture gives wisdom unto salvation, and that salvation is through faith in Christ. Look at John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Let's look at verse 37 through 40. Verse 37, Jesus speaking here, he said, and the Father himself, which has sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think that ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye may have life. I want to make an observation here that general knowledge of Scripture does not produce saving faith. You must be born again. Addressing the religious Jews here, Jesus speaking to them, the religious Jews knew the Scriptures intellectually, but we've seen by this passage of text here, but it was no profit to them. They had not saving faith. Let's look at another example of this. Let's turn over to John chapter 3 when Jesus was speaking to Nicodemus. Let's look at verses 9 through 12. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and you receive not our witness. If I had told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Let's look at our fourth proof text this morning. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And how that salvation is effectually revealed by the preached word of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. Verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Make a few points here that, number one, man cannot come to God by himself. Secondly, the preached word has saving power to those who believed. Thirdly, that the message is Christ and him crucified, and it is the only message that we preach. Also, the unbelieving Jews, to them it is a stumbling block or a scandal. It was scandalous to the people of that time to believe in a crucified king. It was an impossible message for them to understand and believe. To the unbelieving Greeks or Gentiles, it was foolishness to them, just utter nonsense. Who can believe such a message as this? A man dying on a cross somehow or another is supposed to set us free and give us eternal life. Lastly, the preaching of the gospel is only effectual unto salvation to the called or the elect. Let's turn back to John chapter 3. And let's look here as Christ was speaking to Nicodemus again. Let's look at verse 6. "That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Turn a few pages over to John chapter 6. Let's look at verse 44. The effectiveness of the preached word. Look at verse 44. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's see an example of this preaching in Scripture. In Acts chapter 13. How the preaching of God's word is effectual to the called or the elect. Acts chapter 13, look at verses 44. "And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming." Now, mind you, these are the same Jewish religious people that knew the scriptures. And they were blaspheming and they were contradicting that which Paul was preaching. Verse 46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life. Lo, we turn unto the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, and that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. We'll finish with our fifth text tonight. This morning, I'm sorry. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 9 and 10. And we'll see salvation effectually applied by the Spirit of God. Verses 9 and 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Make a few points here as well. The natural man cannot receive the things of God. Christ is revealed to the sinner by the Spirit. And that the Spirit reveals truth, the deep truths of God, to the believer. Let's look at some examples of this. Matthew chapter 11. Verses 25 and 27. And at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. We see here again, just the natural mind can't receive the things of God. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Let's look at John chapter 16. Verse 13. Verse 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. In our last verse this morning, let's look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. Verse 27, but the anointing, or being indwelt with the Spirit, which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. I ask you to reflect upon what you have heard in this study this morning, that you would search your own hearts this morning. What knowledge of Christ do you possess? The most important question that you will ever have to wrestle with is, what must I do to escape the wrath of Almighty God? Friends, your very eternity depends upon this one thing. Are you in Christ this morning? Is he your Lord and Savior? Do you have peace with God through the blood of his dear Son? Has the preached word effectually revealed to you your need of a Savior? Has the Spirit of God quickened or made alive your dead soul? Do you have saving faith? Are you born again? Friend, or if you're not in Christ this morning, I pray that you would not delay any longer. Run to the arms of Christ this day. Repent and believe the gospel and receive forgiveness and mercy and everlasting life. And above all things, the most sweetest part of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Everlasting life is wonderful. Salvation is wonderful, brother. But to know Him and have that sweet fellowship with the Lord, whether you're going through trials, whether you're going through temptations, you have a friend that will stick closer than a brother. You have the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords on your side that's going to split the sky open one day and come back and get us. Rejoice in that if you know Him. And if you don't know Him, I pray that you will come to know Him today. Question number three. How do we know that there is a God? The light of nature and man and the works of God plainly declare that there is a God. But His word and spirit only do effectually reveal Him unto us for our salvation. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You for the opportunity this morning, Lord, to go through this catechism, Lord, to go through question number three. I pray, Lord, that You were edified, that You have joy, Lord, when You see Your children come together and worship You and want to learn about You, dear God. I pray for the next portion of our services, Lord, for the children's Sunday school, for the prayer time we're about to receive, Lord. We pray for the service coming up, Lord. I pray that You would anoint the preaching, dear God, that You would grow us in the knowledge of Your Son, that You would sanctify us in Thy truth, for Thy word is truth, Lord. Be with us this morning, Lord. I pray for those who could not make it today, God, that You would bless them and they would be able to hear it on Facebook or something, God. We'll give You all glory and all praise, and we ask it in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.